Did you see Europe is now drafting a program and plan to open up the Hormuz Strait without the United States?
That's so sad. We're doing it now. By the way, it's opening. The ships are coming back and forth. Oh, without the United States. It just shows you, how can you have a country, how can you have a group of countries with that attitude? Look at Greenland. We should have Greenland to protect the world against Russia and China. The mention of it, all of a sudden they get, this country should not be paying trillions of dollars to NATO.
Is that sun going down on me?
Yeah, it is like that, isn't it? Welcome to Sundown.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Elsewhere in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. Hope you guys are getting over that storm. Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK. Hope you folks are voting today. Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream every day, coast to coast and around the globe on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Greatly appreciate your joining us today for another thrilling edition of The Bradcast. Progressive social media influencer JoJo from Jers observed on Sunday, quote, "In a sane administration, the FBI director doesn't go on the morning news to prove he's not a drunk. The defense secretary doesn't quote Quentin Tarantino to prove he's a man of God. And the president of the United States does not take multiple cognitive exams to prove he's not insane." That would be a sane administration. On the other hand, the day prior to that, right-wing social media influencer, a guy who goes by the name of Real Donald Trump, declared, quote, "Iran has agreed to never close the Strait of Hormuz again. It will no longer be used as a weapon against the world. A great and brilliant day for the world," he added. Well, that was fun while it lasted, wasn't it, Desi Doyen? Did you enjoy it? Did you notice the Strait of Hormuz was open for about 6 or 7 minutes over the weekend?
Oh, I think it was at least 10 minutes.
Might have been. Well, that same right-wing social media influencer who seems to be wrong about absolutely everything consistently, but is still for some reason allowed to socially influence for some reason, he originally told us that this whole thing would take about 2 to 3 days. Then he said, well, maybe 4 to 5 weeks at most. We are now in week 8 of Trump's little excursion into Iran with no real signs of it coming to a close unless you are still gullible enough to fall for the same made-up claims that Wall Street seems to be falling for every few days, long enough for a few insiders perhaps to make some profitable futures markets betting before facts and reality interrupt the latest Donald Trump gaslighting. Do you want to make a bet on when all of this ends? When gasoline will come back down below $3 again? Or if you live in California, when will it come back down below $5 again? Would you like to speculate on whether the sun will be coming down on Donald Trump well before the end of his scheduled end of term in 2029? I hope to also get to some election news today and a little bit after a few updates on Trump's ridiculously ill-considered continuing war on Iran, with another big win for progressives late last week in New Jersey at the ballot box. Voting is underway as we speak in Virginia today for this week's big election on a constitutional amendment in the Commonwealth, to allow Democrats in the legislature there to draw new U.S. House maps favoring Democrats in response to what the Republicans did last year. And if time allows, we will see maybe more chaotic fun for the California governor's top two primary, where early voting is now just days away from beginning. Do you have thoughts or questions on any of that? If so, you came to the right place. Or on anything else in the world that you would like to talk about or to ask me about, our public airwaves will be available to you to do so in a little bit, if you like, at least if you are listening live in our Southern California listening area or anywhere around the globe via the live KPFK.org web stream today. Our phone number is 818-985-5735 if you would like to ring in. And, of course, because we believe in DEI around here, we will let Trump supporters, even lapsed Trump supporters and women, they will be moved to the top of the line when and if they call at 818-985-KPFK, at least if possible. In the meantime, President Donald Trump on Sunday said that U.S. negotiators will be in Islamabad, Pakistan, on Monday for another round of talks with Iran, which he has repeatedly said are going very, very well. They're almost finished. They've agreed on almost everything. Iran has agreed very powerfully and strongly to most of the things that America wants, Donald Trump tells us. But though that was before he then appeared to throw cold water on the whole idea of reaching any agreement at all to end the war, telling Bloomberg News on Monday that he's, quote, highly unlikely to renew the ceasefire. Adding to the uncertainty, Vice President J.D. Vance, who the White House said would lead the U.S. delegation, well, as we go to air, apparently he has not left for Islamabad yet. I'm sure he will any minute. Over the weekend, the U.S. attacked and seized an Iranian-flagged cargo ship it said had tried to evade its naval blockade near the Strait of Hormuz on Sunday, following Trump's earlier reports that the, quote, Iran has agreed to never close the Strait of Hormuz again. Weird. That, even as apparently the U.S. continues its own blockade, along with the Iranians' dueling blockades of the same strait, that before Trump's war saw 20% of the global supply of gas and oil cross through it every day without incidents. Now, not so much. The U.S. attack and capture of an unarmed Iranian cargo vessel was the first interception since the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports began last week. Iran's Joint Military Command vowed to respond, throwing a fragile ceasefire into question entirely just days before it was set to expire as of Wednesday. Nonetheless, Pakistan moved ahead on Monday with preparations for a new round of talks between the U.S. and Iran, even amid renewed conflict in the Strait, raising questions about whether any meeting would take place at all, according to AP, midday on Monday. After the U.S. attacked and seized the Iranian-flagged cargo vessel that it said had tried to evade its blockade of Iranian ports, Iran's Joint Military Command vowed to respond, and its foreign minister told his Pakistani counterpart that American threats to Iranian ships and ports were, quote, clear signs of Washington's disingenuousness ahead of any planned talks. After briefly announcing that it would be allow the opening of the strait for a few hours of the weekend, Iran then throttled traffic again in response to Trump's insistence that the U.S. would continue its own blockade of Iranian ports, saying they consider that to be an act of piracy by the U.S. and thus a violation of the ceasefire, all of which sent oil future prices back up after briefly falling late last week. Meanwhile, historic diplomatic talks between Israel and Lebanon were set to resume on Thursday this week in Washington, according to both a U.S. and Israeli official, though Hezbollah opposes the talks. They have nonetheless reportedly observed the ceasefire, but there was no immediate confirmation on those talks either from Lebanon, where more than 2,290 people have now reportedly been killed, undermining efforts to end the conflict in Iran, and Donald Trump's 2 to 3 day excursion, which has so far reportedly killed at least 3,375 people in Iran, according to officials there. The New York Post reported that Trump said in a phone interview that Vice President J.D. Vance, along with Donald Trump's real estate friend, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, who also works for and makes billions of dollars from Iran's sworn enemy, Saudi Arabia, that they will all return to the Pakistan, that they were all actually returning now to the Pakistani capital as of Monday. Quote, they're heading over now, Trump was quoted as saying, before J.D. Vance's motorcade pulled up at the White House late on Monday morning, after Trump's comments were published, indicating that, no, the vice president had not left for Washington. So who knows?
You know, sometimes it really does seem like Donald Trump makes his public statements in order to help the stock market feel better or investors and such.
How dare you, Jesse
Doyen? It just sometimes seems like that.
He would never do such a thing. He's just keeping us informed. He's the most transparent president in U.S. history. I guess you haven't heard.
That's what they keep telling us.
An Iranian foreign ministry spokesperson told reporters in Tehran on Monday that there were no plans yet to attend the talks with the U.S., but at the same time, he did not rule it out, so it could happen. Over the weekend, Iran said that it had received new proposals from the U.S., but suggested that a wide gap remained between the sides, issues that derailed the last round of negotiations, including Iran's nuclear enrichment program, its regional proxies, and the Strait of Hormuz. So, yeah, pretty much everything, despite Trump's claims to the contrary, that Iran had pretty much agreed to everything that the U.S. wanted. Oh, who shall we believe here? Iran's interest in negotiating may have been further dampened after Trump said Sunday that, quote, the whole country is going to get blown up if Iran refuses to make a deal. Well, that'll get him because, his previous genocidal threat that, quote, a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again, that was very effective when he made that threat about 2 weeks ago before he backed off of it. On Sunday, Trump threatened once again that he would carry out war crimes by blowing up all power plants and bridges in Iran if the country didn't agree to a deal with the U.S. So we're back to that same place that we were 2 weeks ago. Iran's official news agency later reported that Iran claims that Iran was coming to negotiate in Islamabad were not true and described the announcement as, quote, a media game and part of the blame game to pressure Iran. Ali Hashem on Al Jazeera confirmed similar reports.
Iran has denied any plans for another round of Iran-U.S. talks. It's very strange that Pakistani and U.S. authorities have declared Tuesday as the date of the second round of negotiations, while Iranians seem to be unaware of any such schedule. So more and more irony maybe here, where the other party is not even informed of the second round.
I'm not sure if irony is the right word for it there, but that was Al Jazeera on Sunday. Iranian state TV went on to add that negotiators decided not to return because of, quote, Washington's excessive demands, unrealistic expectations, constant shifts in stance, repeated contradictions, and the ongoing naval blockade. Other than that, the two parties are very close together. An unnamed Iranian official familiar with Tehran's international deliberations told Dropsite News on Sunday that Tehran is prepared for a long war. Are you? He said that negotiators would prefer to make a deal with the U.S. that would give Iran the right to enrich uranium, provide sanctions relief, and establish a long-term non-aggression framework. All things, by the way, that Iran has been seeking for years, and that the nuclear deal that was struck during the Obama administration, the Obama era, had largely and effectively dealt with, at least until Donald Trump tore up that deal during his first term, and undoubtedly, frankly, would love to get anything like that again at this point. But the official said that Trump's erratic behavior, his maximalist demands, including that Iran surrender all of its enriched uranium, are now causing Iranian officials to sour on the idea that he could ever be a trustworthy negotiating partner. I don't know why they thought he would be in the first place. They noted, quote, "Our assessment is that Trump effectively lacks both a coherent plan and the capacity to secure even a temporary agreement," the official said, adding, quote, his decision making appears to be grounded in Israeli political and security assessments conveyed to him on a daily basis. So Trump's desperate search for an off-ramp to his war that he started continues, that he started for no other reason than he had hoped to tamp down news from the Epstein files about a woman who claims that she was sexually assaulted by Donald Trump when she was 13 years old. A claim that Trump has effectively sidelined by, yes, plunging the Middle East into war, skyrocketing fossil fuel energy prices, putting the globe on the very brink of a worldwide recession if it doesn't touch off World War III first. But hey, nobody's talking about that 13-year-old girl very much, are they? All of that continues to further tank his already grim approval ratings. Mohammad Sani, a political analyst in Tehran, told Dropsite News that Iran appears prepared to inflict more pain on the U.S. if Donald Trump chooses violence, saying, quote, "We see that the Americans have been bringing in more troops and equipment to prepare to attack, but the Iranians have also not been resting during these 2 weeks of ceasefire," he said. "They have been repairing the underground missile sites, bringing in new air defenses, missiles, and drones. Iran's," he says, "is at a high standard of readiness right now. If there's another round of negotiations sometime later in the future, after another round of American attacks against Iran fail," he says, "the Iranian conditions for peace will be much tougher." Trita Parsi, the executive vice president of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft and a guest on this program several times over the years, said on Sunday that Trump's apparent belief that he can use threats of mass violence to bully Iran into a favorable deal is pushing Tehran further from the negotiating table. Quote, "Due to poor discipline," he said, "Trump ends up prioritizing the optics of victory over actually getting a deal." Parsi said, "Instead of using de-escalatory signals from Iran to get closer to a deal, Trump declares victory and seeks Iran's humiliation, and by that, he undermines his own diplomacy," he said. As to those approval ratings, yeah, well, they continue to fall as more and more Americans are beginning to realize what a mistake they made voting for this guy in 2024, it seems. Are you one of them? Do you still support him despite all of this? Or have you come to realize that he is a sundowning fool at this point in this thing way, way over his head? 818-985-5735. You are always welcome, of course, to tell me that I am wrong, so long as you are kind enough to tell me why it is that I am wrong. I'd love to hear from you. 818-985-KPFK. Though you might be disagreeing with Alex Jones as well in this case, the disgraced right-wing conspiracy theorist and formerly huge Trump supporter who just last week was asking, and I quote, "How do we 25th Amendment his ass?" Today, apparently, he has figured out that this entire mess could not be Donald Trump's fault. It couldn't be Donald Trump's doing. It's got to be, well, something else.
And we're supposed to sit here and love this crap. It's just poll numbers go straight down, and all the polls show the Republicans are going to lose the midterms in 7 months by a landslide, a disaster, a total and complete disaster. Trump is not that stupid. He's made some deal with the deep state to throw the election to the Democrats. That's the only thing this could be.
that's the only thing this could be. That's it. That's probably it. Donald Trump is working with the Democrats and the deep state. I got some news for you here, Alex. Trump is about as deep as the deep state can get, my desperate, pathetic, lunatic friend. But yeah, it is not looking good for Donald Trump and the Republicans ahead of this year's critical tyranny-busting midterm elections. At least we hope they will be. NBC reports over the weekend that Donald Trump's job approval ratings have sunk now to a new low as Americans express growing concerns about rising costs and the war with Iran. That according to an NBC News Decision Desk poll. Over 37% of adults approve of Trump's performance overall, I should say. 37% of adults approve of Trump's performance as president, just 37%, while 63% disapprove. That includes 50% who say they strongly disapprove, putting Trump's job rating at the lowest point of his second term in this NBC News Decision Desk poll. Two-thirds of respondents also disapproved of Trump's handling of inflation, the economy, and yes, the Iran conflict. While the president still commands the overall overwhelming support, I should say, of his base, according to NBC, Republican support is also softening, compared at least to the last Decision Desk poll conducted in late January and early February. And broadly, now just one-third of Americans believe that the country is on the right track, while two-thirds believes it is on the wrong track. How could they not? The most pessimistic outlook in Decision Desk polling since Trump retook office last year, underscoring the challenges Republicans face as they defend their thin majorities in Congress in this year's midterm elections. The economy continues to be the top issue for Americans. Just 32% of Americans, 32%, say they approve of his handling of inflation and the cost of living, that compared to 68% who disapprove. A majority of Americans, now 52%, say they strongly disapprove of Trump's handling of the economy. The share of Americans who strongly disapprove, that is up 7 points since last summer, and the percentage of Republicans who say they approve of Trump's handling of inflation, 73%, that's Republicans now. 73% of Republicans are still backing him on inflation, but that number is 10 points lower than it was in the poll last year. More Americans, 40%, say their personal financial situation is worse today than it was 1 year ago. Just 19% say their economic situation is better than in any previous Decision Desk polling during Trump's second term. The latest poll also finds that two-thirds of Americans disapprove of Trump's handling of the war with Iran. But of course, these numbers have been reflected in special elections over and over again over the entirety of the past year since Donald Trump retook office, with Democrats outperforming as compared to 2024 by an average of about 13% in each of these elections. Well, it happened again late last week when progressive Democrat Analilia Mejia soared to a very easy victory in New Jersey's 11th congressional district, filling the seat of Mikey Sherrill, who last year went on to become the governor in the Garden State by a huge 20% margin. Mejia, I should say, won by a huge 20% margin. This was on a message of standing up to Donald Trump, defending progressive policies and what had been considered to be a fairly centrist Democratic district in New Jersey. Nonetheless, Mejia had the support of progressives like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in a district where Kamala Harris won in 2024 by just 9 points. So it was another big overperformance by Democrats last week, in this case an 11-point overperformance, as we all head into this year's midterm elections. Mejia won on criticizing Trump's pardons of people who were convicted of January 6-related crimes, faulted him for freezing funds authorized by Congress. She did not hold back against Trump in that regard. She campaigned on populist economic policies and pushing to abolish ICE. That didn't hurt her either. She has criticized the Israeli government and said she stands with Palestinian communities in their, quote, pursuit of peace and dignity. And yet not only did she outpace Kamala Harris a little over a year ago, she outpaced her in a big way by 11 points. So she said that she believes the district was looking for, quote, balanced, pragmatic leadership. Oh, I'm sorry. That was her Republican opponent who said they were looking for balanced, pragmatic leadership, not, quote, far left policies. Before that opponent, the Trump-endorsed Joe Hathaway, went on to lose after trying to tar Mejia's progressive credentials. So it sounds like the balanced, pragmatic voters of New Jersey did not see her to be far left the way the Republicans tried to paint her, describing her as a socialist. In other election news this week, voting finishes up on Tuesday in Virginia in a special election called by Democrats in the Commonwealth to determine if voters will allow state legislators to temporarily set aside U.S. House maps that were created by Virginia's Independent Redistricting Commission in order to respond to Republican mid-decade gerrymandering in other states. If voters agree on Tuesday, the result could be as many as 4 Republican U.S. House seats flipped to Democrats in the Commonwealth this November. The election is believed to be quite close going into the final stretch, but we will see if voters come in with numbers that are anything like the landslide that we saw out here in California for a similar special election last November, when state voters overwhelmingly approved of an amendment that was placed on the ballot by Governor Gavin Newsom and the Democratic state legislature. That special election and that vote by the people is likely to end up flipping as many as 5 U.S. House seats from red to blue here in the Golden State this November. Now, I do have some news about that election, that special election from last year, as it regards our primary elections coming up and our November elections coming up, but I see a lot of you want to get in. So 818-985-5735. I'll try to get to the phones as soon as I can. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here right now. We will come back with some of those calls, a bit of breaking news. But if you feel like ringing in on any of this or anything else, happy to entertain your thoughts and questions over your public airwaves. As I like to say, use them before you lose them, more than you already have. If you are in our live Southern California listening area or listening anywhere around the globe via our live kpfk.org web stream, our phone number is 818-985-5735. Ring us up right now. Hey, Trump supporters, don't wait. Don't wait until 2 minutes before the end of the show to call in. But as I said, we will try to continue our policy of diversity, equity, and inclusion by putting you, Trump supporters, right up front before everyone else, because we all know you're privileged that way, and because I am a very swell fellow. 818-985-KPFK. Hey, Dan, on the Twitters, you want to give us a call? Or are you going to chicken out for another hour and just throw spitballs from the sidelines? I love that. I really actually do. Thank you for hate listening to us. All right, quick break. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is your Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
All right, yeah. Make the silent pieces sing now.
Stop the war.
Ow!
Now,
everybody,
don't put it off
another day. Make your voices roar.
Stop the war.
Ow!
Now,
just like thunder, y'all.
Don't put it off
another day. Sing a song.
Back to the Bradcast, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Thanks to our friend, Bumper Music Sherpa KCP, for that suggestion. That, by the way, Edwin Starr, the same guy who did War, What Is It Good For?, making his money on opposing war. Well, that's a switch. Some breaking news this afternoon. Oh, I just lost it coming in on my iPhone. Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer is stepping down amid an investigation of allegations of widespread misconduct. She would be, well, I guess ladies first. They're tossing all the ladies out of the Trump administration.
Yeah,
they're
wild.
To blame for all of Donald Trump's failure, Des.
Well, I will say, in the case of former Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer, there's some weird stuff
yes,
going on with
there's
that.
There's some really weird stuff.
But yes, you're right. He is getting rid of all of the ladies first. Pam Bondi, Kristi Noem.
Some weird stuff, including her husband and her father accused of sending sexting young women in Lori Chavez de Remer's office. Some weird stuff is a very nice way to put it. Anyway,
yeah, but there's also,
she's
you know,
on her way out. Yeah.
Some questions about financial shenanigans going on.
Oh,
there
you
as
think?
Well. Yeah.
In the Trump administration? I don't think so. 818-985-5735 is our number. We'd love to hear from you. Again, our friend Dan Sebastian, who listens to us on Twitter every week, he doesn't think you want to talk about the war. He doesn't think you want to talk about corruption by Donald Trump. He doesn't think you want to talk about Donald Trump's sundowning. He doesn't think you're interested at all in this year's elections or the price of gas. That's of little consideration to Dan. He thinks what you want to talk about is how much money you're getting back in your taxes this year. Is that true? Well, you can give us a call because Dan continues to be too cowardly to do so. 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. Let's go to Margo in Montebello. Hey, Margo, welcome to the Bradcast. Haven't heard from you in a while. Hope you are well.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm trying to put up with the toxic, you know, toxic, rude, orange.
Careful, we're on FCC radio. Yeah.
And his stupid cohorts. No, it's off. It's in the other room. But I'm calling today because you said something that struck me as kind of funny, and it was about enriched uranium, but you said it when it sounded like enriched uranium, and I didn't know that the plants would be dangerous, so I thought that was funny, because I really enjoy your Brad blog and the cartoons and all that. So enriched uranium is different than enriched uranium.
It is, yeah, it is different than enriched uranium. On the other hand, if we tell Donald Trump that Iran is giving up all of their enriched uraniums, then maybe Donald Trump can declare victory and this whole thing can be over, Margo. What do you think?
Oh, that would be interesting. We got to work with his creepy crawly, his mental deficiencies and all that, and kind of unite to find ways to counteract it. And you're really helpful in doing that. And Desi, and I hope that you all have good times and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Margot. Greatly appreciated. I'd love to send some geraniums to you, although not the enriched type. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Andrew in the Inland Empire, welcome to the Bradcast, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm okay. Get a little closer to your phone there so I can hear you better. What's up, brother?
First of all, I do have my choice for governor of California.
Oh, yeah, who's that?
Green Party candidate Butch Ware.
Okay.
Very sensible and reasonable.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll keep out the Republicans, the crazy ones. But I did want to talk about state of our world energy, solar energy. You know that as reported by Harvey Wasserman on California Solartopia, I think 4:30 on Mondays and on the archives, and other experts, we can power all of California and all of our world by solar and wind energy, but instead we're supporting governments, both the Republicans and the Democrats, who are supporting the petroleum industry and the war industry, which is fueled by the petroleum industry, and that's why we're proposing $1.5 trillion for the war machine.
So let me ask you this, Andrew, because you feel that both Republicans and Democrats, I guess they're both the same as far as how they're...
Let me specify, the corporate Democrats, there are plenty of progressive Democrats,
right,
who are different than the corporate Democrats.
Are there any progressive Democrats running for governor in California this year?
I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not knowledgeable about that. But definitely, Butch Ware of the Green Party would do just fine.
Well, he would. But here's my question for you, Andrew. If he loses and the Republicans go on, if two Republicans go on to the November election out here because they're leading in the polls, do you think that the Republicans will be better serving your concerns and my friend Harvey's concerns about solar and wind and so forth, that they'll be better than the worst Democrat would be this year?
Not at all. I think most or all of the Republicans are scammers and they're crazy.
So do you think it's safe to vote for Butch Ware, the Green Party candidate, with that in mind, that it could end up helping to see two Republicans go to the November race, no Democrats at all in a state which is obviously heavily majority Democrat? Do you have any concerns about that, Andrew?
Well, currently, as it stands, it looks like most of the Democrats are going to cancel each other out, so we might as well all get behind the Green Party candidate, who's doing very well in the numbers.
Okay.
So if more of us come to our senses, and as far as the overall picture, I think we should do a two-part strategy for the U.S. First, we should get rid of the Republicans, vote in the Democrats, whoever they are, and get rid of the crazy Republicans, and then vote out the corporate Democrats and put in progressive Democrats and Green Party candidates and the Peace and Freedom Party candidates and start reducing our military budget by half, free health care, free child care.
I'm in favor of all of that, Andrew. It sounds like a good idea. Can I ask, and you don't have to answer any of these questions, Andrew, but did you vote for the Democrat or the Green Party candidate back in 2024 or the Republican?
I voted for, I held my nose and I voted for Kamala Harris for president.
All right.
But like I said, get rid of vote for Democrats, whoever they are. Get rid of the Republicans. They're ruining our world for sure. And then we move on to cleaning out the corporate Democrats, such as Chuck Schumer, the leadership of the Democrats, and vote in progressives. But I want to hear from some women, more women, and some other folks, if we would now.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate you hanging up on yourself. And stay in touch, my friend. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. The Politico is reporting that as the U.S. war against Iran rages on, strategists, quote, in and around the White House, according to Politico on Monday, are growing increasingly panicked over rising energy costs and their impact on voters, who they fear will overwhelmingly reject Republican candidates in the upcoming midterm elections.
launched by Donald Trump on February 28th, the U.S. war against Iran has sent oil prices soaring, with the average cost of gasoline rising by more than a dollar per gallon since the war began, the single largest month-over-month increase since gas price tracking began in 1967 under former President Lyndon B. Johnson. I don't understand why Dan doesn't want to call in and talk about that. Because tax cuts? For rich people? Okay. Anyway, if all of that ain't winning, then if all of that ain't the Americans' golden age at this point, I do not know what is. By the way, as you'll recall, at virtually every campaign appearance in 2024, Trump promised over and over and over again that in his first 12 to 18 months in office, he would cut your energy prices, energy, gas, heating, cooling, in half, with his tremendous policies like no one has ever seen before on account of his brilliance. That has yet to happen. In fact, it has gone quite the other way. Despite Trump's newer claim now that gas prices may decrease in the U.S. by November, strategists close to him say that no amount of rhetoric will now save the GOP in the face of increased energy prices. Quote, the rhetoric around this stuff matters way less than the reality, said a person quoted by Politico as being close to the White House, adding, quote, it will either be or it won't be. If we don't see the $3 gallon of gas, we're going to get killed, that source said. The average cost of a gallon of gas was $4.05 as of April 1. It is up since then, with Trump's own energy secretary, Chris Wright, acknowledging recently that, well, it could very well be up at least until 2027 before the average price for a gallon of gas drops back below $3.
When do you think it's realistic for Americans to expect that gas will go back to under $3 a gallon?
I don't know. That could happen later this year. That might not happen till next year. But prices have likely peaked, and they'll start going down. Certainly with a resolution of this conflict, you'll see prices go down. Prices across the board on energy prices will go down.
But it might not be under $3 a gallon until 2027.
Under $3 a gallon is pretty tremendous in an inflation-adjusted terms. We had that in the Trump administration, but we hadn't seen that in inflation-adjusted term for quite a long time. We'll get back there for sure.
Sure, we will. Certainly with a resolution of this crisis. Oh, that's all. That's all we need. That should be simple. Rising oil prices have largely been caused, of course, by Iran's partial closure of the Strait of Hormuz. All thanks to Donald Trump launching his dumb war. The strait was briefly reopened to all vessels over the weekend for about an hour or two before being closed to U.S.-aligned vessels again on Sunday in response to the U.S. naval blockade, which Tehran accused of being a violation of the temporary ceasefire agreement between D.C. and Tehran. 818-985-5735 is our number. Yes.
Okay, so real quick, yes. One of the things that the corporate media is definitely focused on is talking about gas prices, but they're not really talking about fertilizer prices or chemicals or plastics,
yep,
or any of the other numerous types of,
yep,
products that come through the Strait of Hormuz.
Yep.
And so all of that, other media outlets are reporting that those disruptions are rippling throughout the economy in Asia first and will soon be hitting the U.S. shores as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but did you see how much people are getting back on their taxes this year? It's all fine. 818-985-KPFK, James in Venice. Hey, welcome to the broadcast. James, what's on your mind?
Brad, do,
yes,
you know who was behind the switch from the two-party primary system to this jungle system which we have now?
Well, Republicans like the idea. This was back in 2010, I think it was, if I'm recalling. And the voters, ultimately, it was the voters who fell for it and voted for it.
Because nobody knows who's a progressive Democrat, because we're not hearing any primaries or candidates speak.
Well, this is the primary coming up. As far as candidates speaking, there was a debate that was supposed to be about 2 weeks ago. It was canceled. I think there's another one this week.
And then, of course, it's really, really expensive to get on the air in the state of California. It's such a big state. But good news for billionaire Tom Steyer. He's able to be on. I mean, you can't watch TV in this state or listen to the radio or anything else or podcast without hearing from Tom Steyer. So there's one Democrat who is able to afford to get his message out because he's a billionaire.
And are you ready to endorse somebody?
I do not endorse candidates. There was one exception to that years and years ago, but no, I do not endorse candidates. What I do is I endorse voters and I try to help them understand who and what they're voting for and help make sure that they get to vote and that their vote is counted and counted accurately in a way that they can know it's counted accurately no matter who it is they vote for.
Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call, James. 818-985-5735. Oh, I got to learn how to use these phones one of these days. Let me go to Carol in Ventura. Hey, Carol, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi, Brad. Thank you. I always want to say Katy Perry, but I mean Katy Porter.
Well, if Katy Perry was running, she would probably run away with this thing. But Katy Porter is your choice this year so far, eh?
Well, look at Katy Porter takes no corporate money. That's why we don't hear from her. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everybody, I would think that most people have seen Katy Porter and her whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
She works so hard against corporate crime. She nails people to the wall. She really works hard for the 99%. I mean, she works for us. And, you know, A, she's a woman. B, she doesn't take corporate money. But to me, she would be the very, very best person for governor.
All right. And let me ask you this question, this may be difficult question. I don't know, Carol. If we get to closer to the election now, because we're going to start early voting in a week or two. If we start to get closer to the election and it looks like Katy Porter cannot win, but a different candidate, whoever that might be, can win, or at least when I say can't win the two top slots from the primary to go on to November, and that it looks like it could be two Republicans going on to face each other in November. If it looks like Katy can't win, but one of the other Democratic candidates or Green candidate Butch Ware might be able to win, what would you do? Would you still vote for Katy or would you change your vote?
Oh, I see. If it looked like she could absolutely not win, I would change my vote. I would change my vote to I'd love the Green Party person.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he run in 2020?
Butch Ware for maybe I don't know. I guess that my question is, if there is somebody running who is other than those two Republicans, if it's a Democrat, if it's Green, who looks like they can win where Katy Porter cannot. And I would ask the same question of any buddy who is calling in and planning to vote for a Democrat, or in Andrew's case earlier, planning to vote for a Green Party candidate. Would you change your vote and vote for a lesser Democrat, a Democrat that you didn't like, maybe one you hated at all, hated entirely, in order to prevent the state of California from being ruled for the next 4 years by a Republican governor?
Yes, I would definitely change my vote in that case. I just wish that we could, you know, get progressive people through the whole country and get what we deserve as, you know, citizens of the United States. But yes, I would change my vote if I had to. Yes.
Well, if wishes, what's the old saying? I don't know how that goes.
If wishers were dollars, beggars would ride, I think.
Something like that.
I'm sorry for mangling that.
Yeah. And we may wish, but sometimes I think Democrats and Green Party supporters need to be more strategic in their thinking, in their voting. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. I suspect we'll continue to talk about this gubernatorial race for the next few weeks coming up. Like I say, I've got some California-related news I've been trying to get to for a couple of weeks about exactly that. Thanks for the call, Carol. I appreciate it. 818-985-KPFK. Let's go to Marlene or Marlena in Valley Village. Is it Marlene or Marlena? Marlene?
It's Marlene, but I'll take either one, baby.
Okay, baby. Thank you. What's on your mind, Marlene?
You know, two things. And Carol, I hear Carol's heart because she's right. I mean, I look at our country and how people can't afford rent, can't afford food. I mean, what? And then the other day, they talked about $88 trillion with Reagan, Bush, and Trump, that the tax cuts were given to the rich. $88 trillion. And where would our country be? But the other thing I want to say together real quick is for people to be aware of the 12 Democrats that voted against sending more weapons to Israel, and that people do not send them any money. Gillibrand, Schumer, Coons, Fetterman, Rosen, and Nevada, right. They all voted to keep sending weapons to Israel, and they take big money from AIPAC. So okay. I just want to get that in.
All right. I appreciate that, Marlene. And by the way, if any of those people, again, were running in your district and they were facing a Republican, would it be worth voting for the Republican in order to prevent someone who, a Democrat who gave money to Israel from winning office?
You know, I sure hear you, but I tell you, John Fetterman, he makes me sick running around like a seventh grader in his shorts.
Well,
it's like, Jesus Christ, mister, you're an open senator. Get the hell, pull your pants up.
Well, he's a special case, but I hear you.
Right.
Yeah,
okay, Brad.
Thanks, Marlene. I appreciate the call. 818-985-KPFK. Who do we go to next here? Let me go to David in Inglewood. Hey, David, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind, sir?
Dylan. Well, I think that the argument that you're proffering is kind of disingenuous.
Okay.
Because it is like, it's got to be either a Republican or a Democrat or the Green Party. First of all, both parties, especially the Democrats, work harder than anybody to stop the Green Party. So it's, and if people haven't figured out that it's a uniparty and that basically the Democrats are the ones responsible for giving us Trump because of how they screwed over Bernie twice.
Hang on a second. So because you don't like the way the Democrats felt about Bernie Sanders, that is what gave us Donald Trump? Really?
Yes. The Democrats are the ones.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton's ego gave us Donald Trump.
Who did you vote for? Who did you vote for in 2016?
I voted for the Green Party only because I refused to vote for Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is basically a conservative Republican in disguise.
Well, in 2016, Joe Biden wasn't running. It was Hillary Clinton. But I take your point. My point is that I think voters need to be smarter. And I don't care what party you're in. I think you need to get smarter. And I think it's easy to complain, especially out here in California. And granted, I understand that we've got a certain luxury, or at least we think we do, that, it's going to be a right wing Nazi who the state elects for president. But as we can see, things change. We've had a lot of Republican governors in this state over the years. We're looking at the possibility of having to choose between two Republicans. A Fox News analyst and I forget what the hell the other guy. The sheriff Bianco. We may end up having a choice between two Republicans. I don't think that's very smart. I don't think that's good for Democrats. I don't think that's good for the Green Party. I don't think that's good for democracy, but that's just me.
Okay, and I would vote, the only Democrat I would vote for would be Tom Steyer.
Okay. Well, you will have that choice coming up in just a few weeks. Thanks, Andrew. I do appreciate your thoughts here. 818-985-KPFK. Well, we're running out of time already, so we're going to try to run through a whole bunch of people really quickly here. Nikita in Fullerton. Hey, Nikita, welcome to the broadcast.
Brad.
Well, hang on a second. I missed what you said. Say it again. Oh, Nikita, what happened?
That was not Nikita who said that.
Okay. So let me, I wanted to hear, I couldn't even hear what he said. I think he called me a bad name, but I guess he's gone and hung up on himself. So now I think I have, I don't know how phones work. Who do I have on the line? That's Kayvon.
Hello.
Do I have Kayvon?
Yeah, we got disconnected.
Okay. What's on your mind, Kayvon? I've only got a minute or two because I suck at this. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I was just going to say that, is this Brad? Yes,
this is Brad. Yes,
I apologize.
That's all right.
I love your show. I just want to say there's not enough mention of the elementary school meet-up that the girls and boys got slaughtered. I understand this war is about all gas prices, grocery prices, and all that, but there's not enough mention of that. And Hicksett must be kept accountable for his war crime and the whole administration. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, Kayvon. And of course, we have talked about that. We have talked about all the damage that is being done. We do a show damn near every day of the week at this point, and I've got the gray hairs to show for it. Do we have any?
It looked like we lost Nikita, who had been on hold.
My apologies.
From Fullerton, which he had wanted to say was that the Green Party candidate, where that he ran in 2024 for vice president.
Ah.
So that was where the confusion was in.
Gotcha. Okay. And again, I'm sorry that I screwed up the phones, Nikita. I think he called me a disingenuous something that I can't say on air anyway that I heard in the background. If he didn't, my apologies to Nikita. We will try to pick all of this up at our next available opportunity, but I think I got to get out. Unfortunately, my apologies to everyone who I could not get to. I know a lot of folks wanted to get in today. I'm trying to get to phones earlier and earlier each week as more and more people are calling. Maybe as we get closer to elections, maybe as wars rage around the world. My thanks to everyone who did call in. Apologies to those I couldn't get to, and to everyone who spent a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, download them anytime for free at bradblog.com. I'm hoping by week's end we will have an all-new Brad blog, completely redesigned from the ground up by yours truly. So, you know, we'll see how good it is, but you may like it. So be sure to stop by bradblog.com. My thanks to our producer today, as always, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Will, and to all of you. Drop me an email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, you will find me at the Brad Blog. We will see you there until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.